So let's pray and let's ask the Lord to do his thing and to give me spiritual confidence for Sunday school and for the message this morning during worship. All right. Heavenly Father, I really do come before you, and if I could be prostrate on the ground, I would, and just as a posture to say, to just demonstrate to you, Lord, how much I need you, how much we all need you, actually, every single day. But sometimes we don't come into a clarity of that, of just how much we need you. And for some reason, I have that today. Just not, there's no human confidence. But I know that I can be confident in what you can do. And so I just pray for that. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to those who want to hear from you. And so if we want to hear from you, Lord, I pray that that would be our prayer to you, that throughout this day we would hear from you, we would hear you speak to us. That your words would be alive, your Holy Spirit would have free reign. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters in every Sunday school class this morning and every where they are, even if they're preparing their hearts for worship by watching US Open, whatever it may be on the drive over, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts. And you would allow us to be a gathering who wants to worship you, who wants to praise you. So God, I just come before you with that prayer, and I just need you. I need to know that you are working through all the little things. I'm not praying for anything spectacular, just that you would be working through all the little things today. And I thank you for that. I praise you in the ordinary, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay, this morning, we are looking at a name that I thought was interesting because of where it comes from, and then it's one that I would not think is very big. But it's actually one of, there's so many references to God's name, Jehovah Tava. Okay? It's like something you might hear your mom say, you know, about wiping down the table. Did you Tava? Right? So Jehovah Tava. Let's say that together. Jehovah Tava. But we're not telling God to Tava, right? Tava is a word. We're going to look at that. And everybody online say Jehovah Tava, right? Okay. It's kind of hard to joke with people online. I don't. People are like eating breakfast, or, and that's okay. Eat away. Hey, I don't know how to publish this stuff. Sometimes, bro.
Publish? Oh, yeah.
Me. Like how it gets on, like, yeah. Cindy said, oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, you just have to get out of here.
If people wanted to see it on their phones, right?
Bring this up and down.
Oh, I did publish it, but it's like there's no, it's not listed on the website.
Right.
It's not listed on the website. But I don't care if anybody. Yeah, pages. Saba.
Saba. Okay. Show in navigation.
Good, thank you. Jehovah Tava, Jehovah Tava. Okay. So let me ask you guys a question. All right, do I start with a question? So this name, I did not change this name. I didn't change the font. Mabel said that she could see it from where she's sitting. So it just means if you can't see, you gotta like move up. This name is, yeah, I said that it interested me in the passages where I saw it come up. And then it was fascinating to me. I didn't actually learn this until close to the end of my study, but this name of God is actually used quite often in the Old Testament. 261 times, right? And this word, Tava, is actually used like, you know, 480 plus times. It has to do most of the time with warfare, with, has to do with, this word has to do with warfare. It has to do with a physical army, like a human army, or it could refer to, too bad it's not hot. But I have a Keurig with coffee, brother. This is my coffee pot. He brought back a roast that was fresh brewed in Taiwan, and he straight up brought it like the day after he came back from Taiwan. And Bex and I drank it, and we enjoyed that. That was good. To the last sip, and we drink a lot of coffee, so I was telling him the flavor profile that I got from it. Not that I'm like, oh, it tastes like coffee, it's dark roast. He goes, what, you guys are eating, you know, in a week? And it was just so good. We were enjoying the last cup on a Sunday. So anyways, there's Pete's. This word has to do, Tava, right? It has to do with human armies, heavenly armies, or stars, right? That would be called astrology, right? Astrology is the study of stars. Astronomy. Everyone's like, astronomy. So Tava is used for stars, angels, or a great number of like men, typically in a battle sense, fighting, warfare. If you're like me, not many of you are, but two of my favorite movies are like fighting epics, right? Has to do with like war, has to do with battles. And I'm just really into that. I don't know why. I've been like that since I was like young. And then this word, Tava, will kind of speak to you. And in the Old Testament, it's used so many times. And the Lord, his name is Jehovah, Yahweh Tava. So in that sense, it's referring to he is the God over armies. He's the God over, in reference to human armies. He's the God in reference to all the heavenly angelic armies, the heavenly hosts, right? Refers to he's the Lord over every star. And if you guys have ever studied stars, right, our sun, a star, is one of the smallest compared to all the other galaxies out there. Like, we, like, our sun is like, I don't know, it's like the size of this dot. This little red dot, is it red to you guys? Our sun is like this little red dot. And the next smallest sun is like the size of this thing, you know? It's like, we, and then Earth is like a grain of sand. And then on that little grain of sand, you know, it's kind of like MIB, did you guys see MIB 3 International, where there's like this whole like galaxy inside a little, a little thing called Orion's Belt or something like that. But it was, that little dog's name was Orion. Anyways, just got lost in MIB. That's great. So I want to ask you guys a question. Why do you think this particular name of God occurs so many times? Why do you think this name of God, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, the Lord, you know, hosts is the word, if I didn't say that already, right? Tzava means hosts. So Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh who's over the armies of the battle, of the battles. Why is there so much use of this warfare, armies, you know, fighting, and that he's Lord over that? Why? Any guesses? Why do you think?
There's a constant spiritual battle everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Because there is a constant spiritual battle.
In the Old Testament, the civilization was based on war and conquest.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was so frequent. And you see, everything comes down to that. Even God's promises to his people, Israel, are, there's provisions to say, I will protect you, right? Like those who want to fight against you, I'm going to smite them. I'm, you know, if you are my people, and, you know, part of God's blessing, right, is like, man, if people are going to attack you and they want to try to conquer you, man, you'll see when you are under my covenant, you'll see what I do to them. Right? So even in God's promises in the Old Testament, battles and things like that, it's very common. Wherever you moved around, there's fighting. Even to the point where a guy fights with an angel of God, right? Jacob wrestles with God. Okay. Hey guys. I was just thinking about this. The more I was reading about the different places where Yahweh is Yahweh of hosts. Some people use the word Yahweh our warrior. Yahweh, the one over every battle. And the more you see where Yahweh of hosts, Tzavah is used, Jehovah Tzavah is used, you see that he's not only over heavenly armies. He's not only over the army of Israel, his people. He is over and in control and over power, sovereign over the enemy's armies. He's over it. Like nothing can be greater. There's no army that surpasses God's strong arm. It's crazy. And so when Daniel says everything is spiritual warfare. Everything finds its roots in the spiritual. Imagine what that tells us about God. There is no troop movement. I know that sounds like a military term, right? There's no troop movement. There's no tactic that enemy troops can come up with, even as you see in the Old Testament, that can outdo God. And if you see all the different passages, which we won't look at, you'll see that, like, God does anything and he creates chaos in the enemy ranks. No matter how strong they are, no matter how brilliant their military strategist is, it doesn't matter. Yahweh is Lord over all the hosts, right? And there's, yeah, so I put like troop movement in there. So when you guys think though about an epic battle, right? When you think about, man, this is like what you would only see in a movie. And most of us have heard the story. I'm sure Hattie knows this epic battle. And Jackson knows of this epic battle. What is this epic battle in the Old Testament that you can think of? Any guess? Shout it out.
David and Goliath.
Yeah, okay. David and Goliath, right? My grandma, man. My grandma, when I was young, you know, she's a missionary. And it was one of my favorite things that I remember doing with her, you know? I'd be like, can we do it? Can we do it? And she's like, no, you have to brush your teeth and take your bath first. And I just remember, I'm trying to do everything as fast as I can to be able to do this thing with my grandma, which is to, here's a chair over here, buddy. What was that saying?
Grandma.
I love to reenact David and Goliath with her. It was my favorite thing, and she would make it so real for me. She would, you know, because she's so good with the Bible, and she would just enhance it. And I'd want to hear her to tell me again, because she can paint the most dramatic pictures, and she was a great preacher, and so I would just like, tell me. And then after, and I'd be like this? Did he do it like this? Like, what did it look like? And she would describe stuff for me, and I'd love to hear from her. And then she would like play Goliath, right? She'd be like, and he was so tall, taller, you know, she would always be like taller than the doors, right? And then he was so huge and had a big beard, and he had a low voice. And then, and she said, so what do the Israelites do? And I would be like, I am David, and I have my stones, and I swing my sling, and I let go. And she would like, ah, and she'd fall over on the bed, and I'd jump on her, and I'd get my little whatever sword, and I'd cut off her head. You know, it was like a big deal for me. The memories for that are very, very vivid. So let's turn. This morning, I felt it's valuable for us. We're going to just read 1 Samuel 17. So if you prefer to use your own Bible, I prefer you to use that too. So open up the Word. We'll just use ESV. But if you don't have a Bible, you could read up here. I found that reading in my, I didn't bring my paper Bible this morning. That's okay. Oh, I just saw that. It's French Open, right? Mabel tempted me to look at the scores. Okay, first Kings 17. you're gonna. For Samuel, for Samuel. Is it hot in here?
Fresh air.
How about fan? Hey, I can turn the AC. Okay, how cold do you guys want it? 68? Yeah.
Alright. Okay. So I'm in 1 Samuel 17. Are you guys in 1 Samuel 17? Why don't we go around if you guys are okay? Or do we have some volunteers who want to take turns reading? Okay. Why don't we go around then? And read about. Oh no, there's a lot of verses. Let's read about like, I don't know, 10 verses or something. Read whenever you want to stop. Read until you want to stop, Peter.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Now David was son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse. We had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take for your brothers and eat that of this parched grain, these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. And take these 10 cheeses to the commander of the 1,000. See if your brothers are well, bring some token from them." And Saul and they, and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep and the keeper, and took the provisions and went, and as Jesse had commanded them. He came to the encampment as a host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Verse 21.
And Israel and the Philistines drove for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, before the champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words before, and David heard it. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up Truly he has come to defy Israel, and King will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before.
And the words that David spoke were heard. They repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of them. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a young man, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he blows against me, I cut him by his thread and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine should be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the mouth of the lion, from the mouth of the bear, will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David swept his sword over his army, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with this, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the book of him and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine.
And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. Stones sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head.
When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Ephraim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from the chasing of the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent.
As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite."
All right. There are so many contrasts going on in this. So I want us to get into groups and make some observations. And in this contrast, we're going to kind of see a pattern. We're going to see something. So get into little groups of like 2, 3, 4, whatever, and just make some observations of this passage, right? You guys get what I'm saying? So there's a lot of contrast in this, right? So get together in a little group, see how many you can identify. You can start with big picture, work down into the minuscule stuff, but feel free to go ahead and do that, okay? So I'm gonna give you guys like 4 or 5 minutes, okay? Okay, looks like people online are good to go. Shut this. Gotta shut like 2 rooms here, things. Okay, so what are some contrasts that you guys were able to pick up? Yes?
Before the fight.
Philistines were all like cocky. Philistines are all cocky. The Philistine, this Philistine, yes.
David
killed
him.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the
roll reversed. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Humble pie really quickly, right? Humble pie. Especially when this little dude is holding like the head of a giant. You know, which is like so gruesomely cool. It's like he's just like I was chilling like all this thing, like a big old dripping blood head.
Teach that to Sunday school.
Yeah, teach that to Sunday school. Show them some pictures. Show them some pictures. Okay, other contrasts. Yes, Justin.
When David arrived to like the battle camp,
yeah.
Others were telling him about like physical strength of Goliath,
yeah.
And like how he's like very big and strong, and like all the rewards that he will give,
yeah.
For killing Goliath. So it's like all these worldly things. And,
okay.
David just sees. What? It's just someone who's defying God.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Just like a spiritual versus like.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure.
He doesn't really like, give a thought about Goliath's like, physical strength. He's just like, just defying God.
Didn't even think about that. Did he even see Goliath? I'm sure he did, right? Okay, good. Yeah. Yes.
All the different reasons they were there. Like, Goliath was there like to defeat the host. I mean, not the Philistines. To defeat them.
Israel.
Israel and. David was there to just bring food to his
mom. Yeah, he's like, man, I'm just here on a field trip, bro. My dad sent me on a field trip, right? And was this the first time the Bible says that he's gone to the battlefield? Did you guys see anything in there? Guys, God, look at the word. It's not the first time? It's not the first time. Because what does this say? He goes back and forth, right? Right, he goes back and forth. Okay, you see that in scripture. Yes, and so your point was the reasons why they're there. There's a big contrast. David's not even there to fight, right? He's like, dude, I wanna like, or I mean, his real purpose was just to bring food for his brothers and then bring some fine cheese for the commanders, right? A little round nosing there, but I think that's cool. He was just like, do 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 do, like I'm here. Where are my brothers? Brought them some roasted grain, which must have been really good. To me, it just sounds like dry grape nuts or some milk. Goliath is there. He wants to kill somebody, right? And that's actually called, you know, there's a name for that. You see movies like that. You see battle clashes with everybody and Vikings or whatever. And then you'll see like what's called representative battle, right? What's a movie you could think about that's representative battle? It's like, you know what? Bring your best champion out. And scripture actually calls Goliath the champion. And they're like, you guys bring yours, we'll bring our champion out. Whoever wins, that's it. And that's kind of smart. Why? You saved, dude, that's a lot of lives saved, right? Unnecessary waste of life. Just get your best guy and my best guy. And I read something where, so how tall is Goliath? Goliath is like over 9 feet tall, right? Depending on different sources, but the average Israelite is like 5'5". Right? So it's like, and tall dudes, right? And this is a young man, right? So don't even know if he heard it, hit his growth spurt to get to 5'5", you know? Because 5'5" is average, right? Yeah, he might be like in his fours, you know? He's like, man, I'm hoping to hit 5'5", man. Get that average. So you see that dilemma. What other contrast?
Well, I don't know if it's a contract, but more of a comparison.
Yeah.
So I was telling, I did a study on that this passage,
yeah.
And the part where David says, I fought a lion and a bear.
Mm-hmm.
So the lion and the bear in that
region
is actually the same size as Goliath, like a full-grown
yeah.
male, whatever,
they're
a
big.
Bear or a lion.
Yeah, they're big.
A lion is the same size. So. It wasn't like a upgrade. It was like I literally bought these
yes.
that day.
Yeah.
So.
And what does scripture say? What does he say? He says, I will strike them. That's not like at a distance.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, if they try to bite back, if they're like fighting this bear or lion's fighting back, what does he say? He says, I will grab them by the beard. It's like, he's like, you know, and some shepherd staffs are like shorter ones, right, where it has a kind of like a round, big knob at the end, right? So just imagine this like 4'2" little dude, you know, he's almost Asian, man. He's like, you know, grabbing on here, and he's just around, dude, you could go crazy in your mind, right? And that's what my grandma told me, right? Like, these weren't like your zoo bears, you know, these are like huge. They're big. And you know, I was fascinated with that, right? As a kid, just clubbing this animal. And he's fighting back, and you're being thrown, and you're just grabbing on, and you're, you know, I'm sure he's got, like, he's been, like, he's got scars, right, for this little dude.
Yep. Can I say one?
Yeah.
So there's a contrast between David, the two main characters, David and the lion.
Mm-hmm.
Goliath's confidence was in himself.
Yes.
I'm bigger than you. I
mm-hmm.
have this army.
Right.
So his confidence was in himself.
Yes.
But David's confidence, this is where the contrast is, David's confidence was in
all right. So that's, he didn't say, you know, like, oh, it's all about me, right? Good. What else?
Goliath, again, just going back to David and Goliath, the contrast, like, Goliath's a very experienced
mm-hmm.
warrior,
mm-hmm.
fought many battles.
Oh, yeah.
David, in the sense of being in the army, he has
yeah.
no experience, but he does have experience with
big animals,
you know, killing.
Yeah,
you could actually kind of think of it as a warrior with
yeah.
the animals, right? Because he's protecting his sheep, which kind of makes me think that, you know, like it's kind of like going back to Jesus, right? Like,
ooh, yeah.
Jesus, we're the sheep, right? So we're the sheep, right? And then kind of like the comparison is to Jesus, where Jesus is protecting us from like the bear, quote unquote bears
enemies.
And
yeah.
or enemies of
enemies
world,
of the
right?
flock. Yeah.
So that's where my
good. Oh yeah. I mean, class over. That's it. Yeah. I mean, Here are the ones that I thought of. You know, you can see that the men of Israel were so afraid. You saw that they were very afraid. The language, look at the language that Scripture uses when they describe the fear of, it was like great fear, or they're greatly dismayed. What does dismayed even mean? Yeah. You guys use that word? So dismayed. So you guys got to actually think about these words, because these are words in the Bible, right? What does dismay mean? Google it, right?
Hopeless.
Okay, hopeless.
This is it. Like, we're done for.
You're like, you're saying, like, no, we're fine. We're done for. I picked this thing up that David is so angry at this Philistine, right? He's so angry at the Philistine. Who's angry at David? His brother, right? That's a weird contrast. Why are you angry at your brother? Why aren't you angry at this Philistine like David is, right? You know? The army, this entire host of men, do not want to fight. No one wants to fight. Because Scripture says they lined up every day. They're on probably like a hill that goes down into a valley, the Valley of Elah, and then another hill. And Philistines are lined up here. Israel's lined up, battle formation here. And you know every day they're coming out being like, first of all, no one really wants to fight, right? You're a little bit deluded when you're out there and you're like, yeah, yeah, you know, I'm bloodthirsty. Okay, you're probably psychotic, right? If you want to go out there and possibly lose a limb, lose your sight, get stabbed, die, be permanently injured, on a battlefield, you know, you're delusional. Nobody wants to fight. Let alone this 9 foot, like, I don't know how many pounds, 300, 400 pound man, right? On a 1v1, you're like, I'll pass on that. Nobody wants to fight, but David's like, dude, I'll take this. Like, someone's got to take this, right? Saul prays for David. This was interesting to me. Saul prays for David, right? First of all, that's kind of like sick, right? Because you're a grown man and you're the anointed of God. And this young man comes to you and he's like, let's go. Like, I'll take him. Like, he's like, hey, I heard you're talking all the smack. He goes, oh yeah, I'll go take him down. And so I was like, okay, I'll pray for you. Go do this and the Lord be with you. Yes. Yeah.
Kind of also following up on what you're saying, mm-hmm. what Bob said about David's confidence that it's the Lord fighting rather than his own strength. Mm. I was sharing that it never struck me. It's just in two short verses, 37.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, David's like, the Lord was with me when I fought those lions and bears, and the Lord will
be with me
here. And then Saul says, go, may the Lord be with
yes.
you. And that was it. But I was like, oh my gosh, the king just sent a little boy to battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the entire nation's fate
yes.
rests on that decision.
Right.
So it wasn't just the, oh, you want to give it a try?
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. Mm-hmm. This was like, there was something about the Lord is with you. Mm-hmm. You are confident the Lord is with you. What you're saying is that God was with you and that I believe that God is with you now.
Mm.
So go in
wow.
the Lord of hosts. And yeah. I'm assuming that. That's
yeah.
That. I'm assuming
yeah.
that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But there was a very profound, God is here. God is in
yeah.
this. So I'm sending you. And I just like never saw that passage, but it was like, I don't know if it says God of hosts and the Lord of hosts in that Greek,
mm-hmm.
but if it is, then it is a very profound statement that the
when he says
God
what?
Of
mm-hmm.
the armies
yes.
is going with you
yes.
against
okay.
this one Philistine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's
okay.
a very like
okay, so we'll look
spiritual
at that.
perspective
right?
of the battle. it's not man versus man, or David's skill and strength versus Goliath's skill and strength. It's literally a man versus the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
So I thought that was.
He said, "The Lord be with you." He didn't say Yahweh Tava in that.
Oh, he didn't.
Right? No, he didn't.
Yes. But I just thought it was like, oh wow, Saul must, as a king, must have seen or sensed something.
Yes.
I
thought something different. I saw that he's like, go. I didn't pick that up. That he's like, okay, I've already seen the Lord to be with you. I saw this weird contrast in there too, because he's like, yes, the Lord, like David's saying, the Lord is all I need. If the Lord's with me, dude, this guy's gone. And Saul says, yes, the Lord be with you. But the weird contrast is, he goes, right after he says, the Lord be with you, what does he do? He's like, here, make sure, though, that you put on the best, you know, armor, which is my armor. The king's armor is the best armor. Right? So he's like, the Lord is all you need. But, you know, here, make sure you wear this, huh?
He's very cowardly.
Yeah, he's a little cowardly. Yeah, he was the guy who did high school.
Kind of comfortable in that armor.
Yeah. Yes. And David was like, you know, you see all the pictures of like a little boy with all this big armor, right? Yes.
I was going to say, there's another thing regarding the covenant in this passage.
Yes.
Because what David is saying is, that's a Philistine, the uncircumcised Philistine.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
And the covenant with the God Almighty is
right.
Circumcision.
That's right. That's exactly what David hones in on. His first comment. My question was going to be, how does Saul's and his army's reaction to Goliath contrast with David's? Right? Saul's was like, when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed. Okay? Dismayed, I think I actually even wrote it down. Dismayed means upset, worried, agitated because of some unwelcome situation or occurrence, right? I said, is there any slang that works here? It's like cringe, low. Bethany's not here. She's my like slang person. Like mid, is it mid or is it low? Is it mid or low?
Mid.
It's mid, it's more mid. I think this is low, actually. Right? And what's interesting, before we bring that up, is this: when you look at Scripture, when was the first occurrence that they were afraid? Scripture actually says they were lining up every day. They would line up, and Philistines would come out every morning and line up. Every day, right? So when you think about it, these guys amped up, came from Jerusalem. Philistines came from Gath, right? In that area. You have to bring so much logistical stuff, right? Like, it's already a headache. It's already like, oh, man, oh, we forgot this. Oh, we forgot that. So I was like, I forgot my favorite sword. You know, whatever. You already have things. When you're getting ready for a test, right, you're getting ready for a job interview, whatever it is, like, things could throw you off. You're already stressed, and everything's magnified because you're getting ready for it. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that they were greatly worried or afraid. When? It was only when Goliath came out. It didn't say that they were worried or afraid before that. It was only when Goliath came out and taunted them. And I was thinking about that for ourselves, that most of us can handle the regular problems in life. And we do. We try to handle the regular problems. Something that we have to think about for ourselves. It's only until something really big comes out that's unforeseen that really racks our nerves, our fear, our worry, our anxiety, being upset. Because all the other stuff, you're like, God, I got this. God, I got this. I wonder if God needs to bring something big sometimes to show us that we don't got it. David's first reaction of what Peter said, and we'll look at this next week, right? He's giving away where I'm going, but that's great. Because he says, his first comment is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? We don't catch it normally, but Peter caught that. That is straight up covenant. Who is this person outside of the covenant that dares mess with the people of the covenant? And we'll talk about what that means and why God's promise is so important to David. So important that when God says something and he believes it, he stands so much on God's promise, knowing that I'm not risking anything because God's already made a promise. We talked about that earlier, right? The covenant is, anybody who comes against you, I will take them out. Anybody who curses you, my people, I will curse. Anyone who gets in your way, I will remove them. This is a dude, a normal shepherd boy, not a warrior, who is so strong. Not because of himself, but because he stands in belief in what God has said. Right? You guys with me? He stands and does not waver on the promise of God. He's not a warrior. He's not like a tough guy. But he stands on the promise of God, and on that he's not shaken. He's like, this guy is the type of people that God says, if he's in your way, God will remove him. So what promises of God do we need to stand on like that? You right, you guys with me? What type of promises of God do we need to stand on and say, I will not be shaken from this promise, God, you fulfill. When you say, you will do. When you promise, you fulfill. And I don't need to be afraid. I don't care what this looks like. Because everyone's seeing the same thing. You guys with me? Everyone's seeing the same issue. But David's view, his perspective is different. Because he's so locked in on what God has already promised in the covenant. Right? Okay, so we'll cover that next week. Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us here together. Lord, I continue to call out to you. I just didn't even know where this lesson was going to go, where my sermon's going to go. But you have kept reminding me of your promises to me. And Lord, you are the miracle worker. You are the one who works in the heart of your people. I pray, Lord, that it is you who is speaking and working and stirring in your people in Sunday schools, and I pray that in our worship service as well. May your name be glorified. May when we see your name being glorified, when we begin to see you and encounter you, our love for you just overflows. God, let our love for you overflow. Let our confidence in your promises overflow. Let our confidence in your name be so rock solid. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.